let me tell you something. Nobody who puts their hope in Jesus will be ashamed. Look, it does not matter where you are coming from. What matters is where God is taking you to. Let me tell you something, Psalms 20 verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So those people who trusted in chariots said now they are brought down and they are falling. But we are standing and we are risen upright. Nobody who calls upon the name of Jesus will God refuse help. I'm speaking prophetically now. I see God pulling you out of the destruction in the economy and pulling you to a place of safety, that you might become beacons of hope in all spheres of human influence, that through you, God will begin to save people upon the earth.
You are now listening to the ministry of Bolu Olatunji.
Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. The entrance of your word brings light, and we trust that you will enlighten our dark places. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you open our eyes and you transform our hearts. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Today we will be discussing very shortly, God has a tattoo of you. Hallelujah. God has a tattoo of you. Our text will be taken from Isaiah chapter 49 verse 13 to 16. God was speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. Hallelujah. Pardon me. Yes. And break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My God has forgotten me. God now says in verse 15, says, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but yet will I not forget you. Verse 16, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have graven you upon the palm of my hands. Upon the palms of my hands. Amen. I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. God has a tattoo of you. God was telling the people of Israel, he said, sing. But their response was, you have forgotten us. You have forsaken us. You have forgotten me. You know, we have many believers where there is no shout in their lives. There is no worship. There is no incense. Psalms 41 or 44 were saying, let my prayer rise before you like an evening incense. Like an incense and the lifting up of my hands like the evening sacrifice. There is no worship in the life of many Christians. Are you following what I'm saying here today? And the reason is because, or one of the reasons is because there is so much murmuring and grumbling and complaining. Yes, it's true that we're going through a lot of things. The world is engulfed with rumors of war and war. It is engulfed with recession. Recession has plagued certain countries. Things seem to be more expensive. And truly, based on what we see by our natural eyes, it looks that there's really nothing to give God thanks for. But that's not true. That's not true. And God was reprimanding Zion and saying, look, you are my child. How can I forget you? We even have earthly parents that forsake their own biological children. There was a particular video I saw. It was troubling. And I heard a soldier tell me something similar. Tell my mom's neighbor, and I was there when the whole thing was happening. Back then, many years ago, he went to Liberia, I think, for a peacekeeping mission. And there was shooting. They were trying to protect a woman. The woman was here. Her child was here. Sure, she was carrying her child on her back. But in order for her to be light enough to run, she had to drop her child. Right? This is a woman that carried that child for 9 months. She loved the child to pieces. But she realized that, if I carry this child like this, both of us would die. So it's best that one of us survives so that we can produce more in the future. But God is saying, look, earthly parents may forsake their children, but I will never forsake you. Why? Because I have engraved you upon the palm of my hands. In other words, God is saying, you are my fingerprint. So I was asking the Lord one day, I was like, what do you mean that you've engraved me on the palm of your hands? What do you mean by that? And if I am engraved on the palm of your hands, where is space for everybody else? And God told me, he said, bring out your palm. So everybody, bring out your palm. Now, can you look at the fine prints, the fingerprints there on your palm? He said, this line is patience. This line here is Tina. This line here is Musumola Glory. This line here is Janelle. This line here is Shion. This line here is Esther. This line here is Francis. This is Cephas. This is Bolu. And it says, my palm are much bigger than yours. Everybody can fit into my palm. That's what God told me. I said, God, hallelujah. Glory to God. We are God's fingerprint. Say after me, I am God's fingerprint. I am God's fingerprint. Let me tell you something, though. God is obsessed with us. God cannot but look at us every day. He carries us about in the palm of his hands every day. That is the God we serve. That is the Father we have. He carries us about in his palms every single day. God is so concerned about us that the angels had to ask him in Psalms 8 and verse 4. He says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visited him? You gave him glory and honor. You exalted him even above the angels. What is this man? Gone. And the angels had every right to worry, because the same man that he created the Garden of Eden for betrayed him. But God still pursued him and followed this man out of the garden. Because when we read the scripture, we think that God just sent man out of the garden. If you look very well, God actually followed man out of the garden. And the angels who do everything right, quote and unquote, you know, apart from, you know, the ones that fell, right? They were wondering, they were bewildered. They were, as Patrick Obayagbon would say, they were maniacally bewildered. That what is this man, gone, that you are mindful of him? What is this man that you are mindful of him? The Bible says in the book of Psalms 121 and verse 4, Psalms 121 verse 4, it says, the one who keeps Israel never sleeps nor slumber. Let me tell you something. One of the things that keeps a man awake at night is his dream. The reason God never sleeps or slumbers is because we are his dream. Are you following what I'm saying here today? This is very powerful. God decided that he will never sleep. The only day he took rest was on the seventh day when he created everything. After that day, God did not rest. And even that resting, God, I'm sure his eyes were open. Are you following what I'm saying? The reason God never sleeps nor slumbers is because we are his dream. Say after me, I am God's dream. The angels, they still keep asking, what was this man? Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6. God even regretted that he created man. He said it is there in Genesis 6, 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6. After man had misbehaved, all the kinikon, da, da. God, Moses wrote it down. Said he regretted that he created man. However, God still kept following man. It's like, you know, how your child can really annoy you and you're like, which kind of, what? But then you just know that there's something inside me that cannot let this child. I just love this child to pieces. Are you following what I'm saying? The reason God is obsessed about us is because we are carriers of his DNA. Genesis chapter 1, it says, let us make man in our own image to look like us, and in our likeness to function like us. The reason God is mindful of us is that we look like him. Is that we are carriers of his DNA. At a quantum level, we are carriers of his DNA. Thus, we are the fingerprint of God. And in order to redeem us, because this title, God has a tattoo of us, is a story of redemption. And we are progressing. I'll talk about the tattoos. That's tattoo one that you've seen. There are two other tattoos in the Bible that the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see. In fact, while we were worshiping this afternoon, and something jumped at me. I screamed. Shion and Mosun were looking at me. What was happening? I said, I saw something. I saw another tattoo. You will see today. It was a story of redemption. One of the things Jesus did was that he became like unto us. He had to come. And one of the ways, because when man had to leave the garden and God followed man, he realized that, and that was when God began to regret that he created man. And God said, the only way to redeem these people is for me to come down myself and redeem them so that they can see what the God life looks like. And when I ascend, they can continue to follow, they can follow after the examples that I have laid. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. Is anybody supposed to read that? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hebrews 4, verse 15.
Louder.
Hebrews 4, verse 15 to 16.
Yeah.
For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
Yes.
But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Yet without
verse
sin.
16.
Yes.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Okay.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, for we have not a high priest who is not bruised by the feelings of our infirmities. When God was telling Zion to sing, and Zion was saying, God has forsaken me, kinikon, Jesus felt the same way. That's what we just read in Hebrews chapter 4. That look, no matter the spectrum of emotions that you are feeling, Jesus has felt it. He felt it as a man, not as God. Are you following what I'm saying? But Jesus was conscious about something, that he was tattooed on the palms of God. And it's that consciousness that I want to drum into us today, because that is the source of all our faith. The Bible says that faith works by love. So if you do not know that God is in love with you, it will be difficult for you to trust him. It will be difficult for you to have faith. It will be difficult for you to latch on your faith and your belief on him. So when he says sing, you know, when someone tells you, when you come and meet someone and say, I need money, I need money, the person says, don't worry, go and rest, go and sing. That's what God was saying to Zion. Go and sing. But he was like, no, Baba, you're not showing me love. You're not showing me love. Because many times, the only way we see love is when someone physically brings something to you and says, that's when you say, I love you. Because usually humanity, their love language is gifts. The general love language of humanity is gifts. We find it hard to believe that someone is in love with us and the person shows it via gifts. However, God was showing them with words of affirmation that, look, I bore you. Can a mother forsake her suckling child? I have engraved you upon the palm of my hands. Isaiah 53. Let me now show you the second tattoo. Isaiah 53, verse 3. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. That's the same Jesus I was telling you about, that what you are going through, he has gone through it all. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 7, he was oppressed and afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers. So he opened not his mouth. Verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. In other words, Jesus came and his body became a tattoo of our sins. Are you following what I'm saying? At first, in Isaiah, before Jesus came, God had already tattooed us on his hands that, look, these are mine. But in order for him to come and redeem us, his body needed to be tattooed with our sins. That tattoo is what we call stripes today. Are you following what I'm saying? And what did he do? What did he do with that tattoo? Micah chapter 7, verse 18 to 19. It says, Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Verse 19 says, he will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast all their sins to the depths of the sea. This is what God did for us. Today is Palm Sunday, but this is what God did for us. When he came, he made his body available as a tattoo for all the sins of humanity and took it with him into the depths of the sea. And when he ascended upon high, we ascended with him. Glory be to God. Come on now. This is the greatest story ever. It's the story of our redemption. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Who has that? Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Apostle Paul was saying that nothing, says, I am persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Who has it?
Christ.
Yes.
Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long.
Yes.
We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's 7. Yes, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Glory to God.
For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, no things to come, no heights, no depths, no all other things created shall be able to separate me from the love of God.
Can you see what's going on here?
Hallelujah.
Nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is the song that we need to be singing. I might be broke, but this brokenness will not separate me from. Many people have left church because of money, because of the lack of money. But I'm saying that even in my time of necessity, I cannot leave him. Because even when I was in my own time, when I was reading in sin, he did not leave me. So is it because of money that I'll now leave him? Is it because somebody broke my heart that I'll now leave him? The whole world broke Jesus' heart, and in 3 days he rose again.
Yeah.
Are you following what I'm saying here? I am tattooed upon him. I am immensely loved by this person called God. Who has seen this movie? A man called God. Look, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. We are the fingerprint. We are his fingerprint. Our weaknesses have been tattooed on his back. I will tell you the third finger. What do you think Moses saw on the mountain? That's the third tattoo. When he said God, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 to 23, he said, God, show me your glory. And God told him, said, look, I will be with you and you would have rest. I said, no. And Moses said, no, show me your glory. Show me a proof that you are with me. Show me. I said, look, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll cover you with my hand. And my glory will pass by you. And I will show you my back. What did Moses see at the back? God. It was not stated in Exodus. But let me bust your head. Psalms 90 was written by Moses. Go and read Psalms 90. It was a song of redemption. Moses saw the redemptive work of Christ when he saw the back of God. The redemptive work of Christ was tattooed on the back of God. Hallelujah. Hey God, this is not heresy. This is Bible. Psalms 90 was written by Moses. The book of Psalms was not written entirely by David. It was compiled by 4 people. David, Solomon, Ezekiah, Asaph, and Ezra. 5 people. But Moses was one of the writers of the book of Psalms. Asaph was one of the writers of the book of Psalms. David wrote most of the book of Psalms. But I'm talking about Moses' psalm. He saw God. Read verse 8. Read verse 8. He was talking about how our sins are before the Lord. He saw it. He saw everything when he saw the back of God. Are you following what I'm saying? When you read verse 1 to the end of Psalm 90, you see the redemptive work of Christ. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. Before you wield his glory, you must see your story carried on the back of God. You must see your sins carried away on his back. Like a mother carrying a child, God has carried our sins away. Are you following what I'm saying here? So when you're telling you that I'm sick, I'm broke, God is telling you that's the least of your worries. Focus on what I have done for you on the cross. Because when that comes, joy is produced in our heart. And when joy is produced, faith becomes a thing of the past. It's easy to have faith. He said, for the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those 3 things come to form when we see what God has done for us on the cross. God has a tattoo of me. God has, I don't know about you. God has a tattoo of me. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. Who has that? Hey, God. Hey, God. Zephaniah, not Zechariah.
The Lord your God is in your midst.
The Lord your God is in your midst.
The mighty one will save.
The mighty one, what?
The mighty one will save.
The mighty one will save.
He will rejoice over your gladness.
He will rejoice over your, listen, God is happy. That's what the Bible says in the book of Psalms, that he inhabits the praise of his people. He will rejoice over your gladness. He will save us. He will save us of all the things that is going on around. These things are temporary. It says, for the sufferings of this present time, Romans 8:18, cannot be compared with the glory which is to come. Are you following what I'm saying? Go on, please.
He will quiet you with his love.
He will quiet you with his love. So meaning that when you are going through things, and Psalms 46 verse 10 tells you, be still and know that I'm God. One of the things that makes you quiet and confident, because the Bible says in the book of Isaiah 10, it says, in quietness and in confidence you will find your rest. What makes us quiet is meditation on God's love. It's when you meditate on God's love that quietness, peace, and confidence enters your heart. Please continue. He will rejoice over you with singing. God is cheering us on. God is saying, my son, my daughter, you can do it. Don't give up. You can do it. Don't give up. I have taken your sins. I've done the hardest part for you. All you have to do is sing. Because I'm even already singing. I'm rejoicing. If you read the book of Revelation, it says the groom and the bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. God is rejoicing over us. Glory be to God. So when you are feeling sorry about yourself, I made this mistake yesterday. I should not have made this investment. I made a bad investment. I lost money. I did this person. God is saying, forget about it. I am rejoicing over you. I am rejoicing over you. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's why he says to Isaiah, he said to the people, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 13, that we just read in the beginning. He says, sing, O Zion. Sing. Look, when you are going through things, that is the best time for you to sing. It's not when things are going right. Because usually when things are going right, you are singing based on what your eyes can see. When you are singing when things seem to be going wrong, you are singing based on how much God loves you in spite of what you are going through. That worship, that's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. Because at that point in time, it is a sacrifice to praise God. God has a tattoo of me, sir. How do you think they overcame? Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. If you read the original Greek, it was saying they overcame him by testifying what the word of God has said, that the blood of Jesus has done. He says, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. That nail is where I am. So regardless of what the devil comes and tells me about my past, it is in the past. God has carried it away. And I have receipts. The receipt is the nail in Jesus' hands. That's my receipt. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, what is this song that Zion was supposed to be singing? Psalms 103. What is this song? Let me tell you. It's a song I sing anytime I feel somehow. I just carry that song and I begin to sing. That is the song. Please read it. We'll read it together.
Is it verse 1?
Start from verse 1. We're going all the way to 17.
Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Keep going.
Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Glory to God.
Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities?
Iniquities. Don't worry about
it. Who healeth all thy diseases?
Yes.
Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness?
You see that? So one of the things I say is, God, I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I bless the Lord, O my soul. Because you see what he was saying? He was telling his soul to bless God. Because sometimes your soul is downcast. It feels downtrodden. It does not want to bless God. It does not want to praise. It does not want to do anything because it is going through a lot. So you are compelled. Look, let me tell you something. A believer has to be active about his thanksgiving. Because there are times you will not want to praise God. You will lose money. You will lose relationships that will make you just want to sit down and think about your life. That is the moment to praise. Father, I thank you because this relationship broke. I thank you because I lost this money. I thank you for the job that I lost, for the opportunities that I lost. Father, I thank you for the people that walked out of me. Maybe because I was even toxic. It's an opportunity for me to work on myself. God, I thank you because they left. I will bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, I will bless his holy name. I'll bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who healed my sicknesses? Who forgave my iniquities? And healed my diseases. And then I begin to remember. Look, when you're singing the song, nobody sings a song without memories. You don't sing a song of thanksgiving without memories of the things God has done for you. Regardless of what the things you are facing now, there are things that God has done for you in the past. Bring them to bear and begin to worship him for it. Go to verse 5 now.
Verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with...
He satisfied my mouth with good things. So that what?
So that thy youth is renewed like the
eagles. Every time we worship God, God renews our youth. Every time we praise him, in spite of what we are going through, he renews our youth. He strengthens us. Go on.
Verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
Come on now.
Verse 7.
Listen, so which means that when we are praising him, when we are worshiping him, God begins to execute what? Judgment. Because usually when things are happening to us, it's a form of oppression. And it's not you that will deal with it, it's the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? That's why the Bible was saying that Jesus or God was saying, it said, vengeance is mine. Let God do it. Let God avenge you. God is the ultimate avenger. Well, double pun intended. Go on, please.
Verse 7. He made known his way unto Moses.
He made known his way unto Moses. Go on.
His acts unto the children of Israel.
Go on.
Verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
So when we are worshiping him of the fact that because there are sometimes that we are not faithful to him. But we are worshiping him because every time we show our lack of faith, he stands up and shows up with his faithfulness. He shows up with his mercy. He shows up with his love. Go on, please.
Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins,
yes,
nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
Hallelujah.
Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west,
hallelujah,
so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children,
yes,
so the Lord pitieth them that fear him.
Yes.
Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame,
yes,
he remembereth that we are dust.
Yes.
Verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass,
yes,
as a flower of the field,
yes,
so he flourisheth.
Verse
17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to
hallelujah
everlasting upon them
hallelujah
that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children.
That is the description of the tattoos upon the body of Jesus. That was the description of the tattoo upon the back of God that Moses saw. God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And that's what Job, and let me tell you something. The believer, many believers who are grumbling will begin to sing from today in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you, because there was a type and shadow of a Christian called Job. In the book of Job chapter 23 and verse 8, there are times you can be going through things that it looks like you can't see God. Job 23:8, Job was saying, I look forward, I couldn't see you. I turned around and I perceived you not. He was grumbling, he became offended, he was this, I served you, I give you. And God said, wait, calm down. Because one of the issues we have when we're in a relationship with, one of the things that brings problems in relationships is when we overestimate our input in that relationship. Job began to tell God that, I was the one that did this. I always sacrificed, I always did this. I did everything right. I paid my tithe, I paid my offerings, I did everything. But everything still went bad for me. And God said, wait, what are you trying to say? Were you there when I formed the earth? And God began to tell him stuff. He spoke through Elihu. He said, were you there when I formed the earth? Were you there when I did this? Were you there when I did that? And after a while, Job began to worship God. He began to intercede for his friends. Then Job now almost ended. In Job chapter 42, verse 5, it says, before I only heard you with the hearing of my ear, but now with my eyes I see you. Are you following what I'm saying? Job saw the redemptive work of Christ. Job saw the redemptive power of God. And despite the fact that he was fervent in church, like many Christians, I did this, I did that, they are only hearing God with the hearing of their ear. They really still haven't seen him. But when you spend time worshiping, in times of necessity, God opens your eyes and you see what Christ has done. You remember what he has done. You see it in 4K. You see it in 3D. You see it well. And then you begin to worship him. And God will then open your eyes for you to walk out of that valley of the shadow of death. God has a tattoo of me. That is the most important hallmark of our faith, that God is mindful of us. Lift up your voice and begin to thank him. Lift up your voice and begin to worship him. Father, we give you all the glory.
This message has been brought to you by Campfires, a God breath ministry with a mission to raise believers as beacons of hope in all spheres of human influence through the teaching of the word of faith and the release of the supernatural. You can find this message on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. To partner with us or to download more messages, visit our Telegram channel at t.me/campfiresofficial. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on social media at campfiresofficial. God bless you.